Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Says, I just have to say that the abortion bill passed by the Oklahoma State Legislature was absolutely ridiculous. But what do I know? I am just a rubber chicken. We do not have time for this. You are going to ruffle some feathers, my featherless friend. No, we will discuss this. I know you're angry, but we will discuss it. But we have to get on. No, we have to get on with Lewis Black's Rantcast number 83, entitled For Bruce McVitie. Once again, I begin a rantcast with, in memoriam, once again, to my good friend and wonderful actor, Bruce McVitie, and who left us. And left a hole, really, for those who knew him well and in the theatrical community. We are living through a relentless shitstorm that seems to be endless, as if we're on some sort of a fucking treadmill. And it's like things are, that we're on the treadmill with this just kind of fly off. It's one thing that it used to be this kind of just sense of going through life and as if taking a long hike and, you know, and things didn't fly off. They just kind of went by the wayside. And we had those moments to take them in. In the times that we live now, it's if it's not one thing, it is another. If it's not another, it is another. And we sit and discuss all of this as if everything has changed, as if things are back to normal. In this city, they continue to fucking prattle on about this is New York. We're right back to where we're not back to where we are, where we should be. And it's going to take time, and it's going to take time for this whole fucking country to get back to where it should be. Because as much as we didn't deal properly with the pandemic, and we didn't, we are now left with other problems that are just as massive as the virus itself. And it's going to take us to a community, to be a community again, whether we fucking like it or not. This is a wake-up call. The wake-up call says, get together. Okay? I was just reminded of the Young Rascal song. But come on, people. Now, but I'm drifting here. And I don't mean to. But we do have to. And when we and you lose good friends, it makes it tougher. When you lose family, it makes it harder. And we are all going through that. And it doesn't feel to be that moment in time where we have to stop and really honor them in a way that's important. And so this is my small way of thanking Bruce for all the gifts he gave as an actor and as a person. I know that if you lived in New York City and were in the theater community here, or just went to see plays, you knew Bruce McVitie. One of his claims to fame was time on stage with Al Pacino in American Buffalo, but a ton of other work in which he brought an honesty and the word grit, which actually works for him. He brought a truth that it was astonishing. And if you really want to see just a great piece of work, catch Homicide, A Life in the Street. It was done in 1997. The series episode is called The Subway. It was written by another good friend of mine, Jim Yashimura, and starring Bruce. And his work and Jim's work were stellar and deserved Emmys, and that's not even up for argument. I mean it. When you see that work, I think you will say, how the fuck did this not get honored on one level or another? Because it deserved high accolades. Critically, it was acclaimed, but it deserved more. It deserves to be known better than it is known. I just want to tell a story about how I met Bruce, because it's a little more upbeat than gives us a sense of just, you know, how people get together when they do. We met through the 52nd Street Project, which, by the way, Bruce's widow Carol now runs. At the time, it was run by my friend Willie Reale, and every summer they would go off and do these one-on-ones. This was very early on. This is actors and writers working with young kids from the Hell's Kitchen neighborhood here, and working on plays. And they wrote a play for their kid, got to know their kid, wrote the play. That's what I did. And Bruce acted in another one. And in the evening, Willie would have adult time where it was really wine tasting. It was really, let's get a little drinky drink in ourselves and kind of escape the kids in the day. And I learned a lot about wine during those times, which was one of the things Willie showed, was is that, you know, it's not a question of how much do you need to know about wine? What you really need to know is the price right? Is it a good price? Can you afford it? And do you like the taste? And do you enjoy drinking it? And there's certain things you can drink it with. But it was mostly about enjoying that taste. And Bruce and I enjoyed a lot of it. I'll tell you that. Because we would sit there and drink with the others and taste all the wines. And then many of them, you know, who were a little more disciplined than us would wander off. And then there were those who just didn't like the wine, which we didn't understand. Some of the wines they didn't like. So there were bottles, half bottles, a third bottles, all kind of sitting around. And it'd be Bruce and I. That would be it. At the end. And we just would finish them off. And by finishing them off, we had that time to spend together and get closer and really admire the fact that each of us went, wow, you know, that we both took a great joy out of knowing that, boy, we're not going to let this wine go to waste. Who the hell lets wine go to waste? Especially when, you know, you're not really getting paid a lot of money. And this is the one great joy we had, you know, outside of working with the kids. I know that's important, but this was the, it was fun. And I'll always remember sitting there with him as we did a lot of toasting, a ton. And I will miss sharing a glass of wine with him. And so it was a good week. I was very excited to finish up on the 15th of May to finish the special, which is untitled. We are trying to figure that out, but it was I couldn't be happier with my performance. I we'll see how it comes out and what you think, but I think the audience that showed up was absolutely spectacular, and I thank everyone who was there, because their energy drove me to a place, performance-wise, that I had not reached at all during the time in which I was working on the special. Show after show after show. They really got me to another place, and I felt very happy about it. And I think the performance, I wouldn't have had that performance without those of you who came out to see it. And thank you. And I really did treasure it afterwards. I was knocked out afterwards. I mean, physically exhausted. Partly because it was like, go for it. You were giving me the go for it sign, and I did. And as much as I could. And hopefully it shows. I'd like to thank, too, the folks who came out who didn't like it, who I saw in the Twitter feed when they would kind of, didn't really enjoy the show and thought that, I was a traitor on many levels and had problems with whatever they thought they just didn't listen in part, really. I didn't do the jokes they wanted me to do, and that was it. And I didn't do the special they wanted to see. And some were upset that I talked about the pandemic, which is really what the special is about. And was from the beginning, because the audience responded to that when I was on the road. And so, but I do want to thank them, because for all of the, apparently the mumbling and the grumbling, they did not heckle. They did not shout out. They did not punch a hole in the energy in the room, which is what happens when you're doing a special. It happens if anyone who's been in a performance in a club or in a theater. Once somebody starts that nonsense, the energy in the room, it's like a blown up balloon. It just starts to, the air starts to escape. And it was really important that that didn't happen, because we were really running at full bore. And so thank you, one and all. And to all who came out, and I'll use this moment now rather than at the end, to see all the shows that I did. All the audiences, whether the houses were full as time or not, it did not matter. Every show was really, I couldn't have been more excited by the response of the audience and by the energy they gave and the time we spent together and the theaters I worked in. To all the folks involved in this last tour, I thank you. I know. At times it wasn't easy for you to come out. Some of you were still under the Omicron virus showed up. But you came out, you wore a mask, or you didn't wear a mask, or did whatever you did. Some of you couldn't come out because people weren't wearing masks. Some of you didn't want to come out because people were wearing masks. So, but for all of you who did come out, from the bottom of my heart, thanks. This has been, it was a good run, and I couldn't have come up with a new special in 6 months if it weren't for you. Seriously. You guys are my backboard. You're how I figure it out. And this time, boy, you really were tremendous editors, I thought. But we'll see. We'll see when they get a hold of it and go, well, boy, this really was too late. I don't know why. The things are wonderful. Why does he want to talk about that stuff again? But I think just even historically, it was important to kind of take note. And I think it was important to kind of give people a glimpse to, for those out there who had problems as I did dealing with it, a chance to laugh at the problems that we had dealing with it, and to be able to laugh at death, at the fear of our own death. But certainly me. I know that others didn't at all, but there were those of us who were, and you know, it was great to be able to share that. Thank you. And then otherwise, it's, you know, I just picked up the phone and the shit show continues, as I was saying. As apparently, and I'm not going to go into it, and you'll read about it, I'm sure, but in Texas, an elementary school was shot up by an active shooter, whatever the fuck that means. When the fuck did you have an inactive shooter? Okay, why don't you say lunatic with gun, fuck nut, God. So it's and this after Buffalo, you know, just a bit ago, at the supermarket, which was in the one place that the minority neighborhood had, the one supermarket they had to shop in. And it's been now shut for a bit. I don't know if it reopened in the last day or so. Shut down. So now you shut down the supermarket. Now they got nowhere to get their food. Just, you know, and due to a white supremacist showing up. I don't know who the active shooter was at the elementary school. I don't know what it's going to take. But the active shooter, you know, the shooter at the white supremacist thing, that's got to be dealt with. There's got to be a line drawn. Enough is enough. People have to be told, nope, this is not the way we're going to be, and this is not the way we're moving. You can talk about it in your basement. You can't bring it into the streets, and you can't, if you want, you can have a march. But even that is getting to the point. If this is the kind of madness that is created by this, I don't know. There's free speech, and then there's insanity. And this is insanity. You know, whites do not dominate. This is not, no. Mm-mm. That ball game has got to finish. We have got to move on. We're in the 21st century, and enough is fucking enough. You have got to start, whether you like it or not, teaching history. And you can't be afraid of that history. And you can't be afraid that your children will be upset if they have to learn about slavery and racism, okay? And your critical race theory bullshit being taught in elementary schools. Or, you know, gender. You can't talk about gender. Stop it. Grow the fuck up, okay? There's a whole world out there that's more mature than we are. You know, and it's got to end. We have got to be able to realize that our children are growing up way faster than we are. And they have the phone has changed everything. The computer's changed everything. The phone is an extension of these kids' central nervous system. And they are going places you never fucking thought of. And let them go there and trust them. All right. You know, nobody, you know, there was like, you know, no sex. There was barely sex education when I was a kid. You cut that out too. Stop it already. All right? If you don't teach what the fuck-ups were in the past, you're going to end up with a kid like that kid who wanders in Buffalo and does the shooting. Because no one along the way went, you know, here's why you are not, you know, your whole white dogma is fucked up and wrong. Here's why morally it is wrong. Here's where we were. Here's where we want to be. Here's what we aspire to. We aspire to being good Christians and good Jews and Muslims and Hindus and Zen, whatever you want to be. All right? Maybe Scientology I'm not so going to be pushing today. But it's really, and then Oklahoma votes for, you know, those, the rubber chicken points out. And the rubber chicken points this out. I can't believe the rubber chicken is pointing it out. He's how absurd, you know, we're going to, there'll be abortion. You can't have abortion after the moment of fertilization. How the fuck do you know that? How do you know that? Huh? And no, you don't allow any kind of, no exceptions for rape and incest. Are you fucking kidding me? What is it, a science experiment? Incest, you're gonna, what are you checking on? What are you doing other than destroying the life of the mother and the child? Because that's what you're doing, to make them deal with that for the rest of their lives. See, that takes a goddamn kind of arrogance. It really does. On your part, to say, no, I'm gonna basically make their lives hell. And then just the, you know, and as one has asked before, is the rapist and then whoever was involved in the incest, do they then have, you know, certain parental rights? What, you know, are we going to get into that? And why didn't the Oklahoma legislature, where my father went to school, and he would be appalled, he would be psychotic about this. But then he might have a whole other choice, a number of things to say. Why didn't they pass a law that said, if you think about having a child, that's the moment of fertilization, really. And if you think about having a child and you don't have a child, then you should be put in jail. That's what you should be done. Be put in jail. Put in jail for you. Look, we will. I'll be talking about it. It coming down the road, because it's got to be talked about. I lived through the period when I was in high school. There was the option you had was an illegal abortion. Okay, and you can't put people through that. You just can't. It's tough enough to make that choice. And then you're going to try to make, you're going to say that somebody has to find an illegal way to do it. You're adding insult to fuck injury, which is just a mild way of putting what I really feel. And I haven't got the time to come up with what I really feel and say it properly without breaking something. And baby formula. So we can't even deal. We're worried about, abortion. Why don't we worry about what we'll do after the abortion, and then maybe start discussing abortion? Okay? Because we don't even have the common sense to have enough of a baby formula on hand to feed our children. That's how much we care about our babies. That the shit hit the fan in terms of it. That they 40% was being made in this factory. That factory had a bacterial problem or something. Factory had to be shut down, and nobody noticed, huh? Damn, really? The executive branch? Nobody? The ghost of Christmas past couldn't figure it out? Not one of his minions? Nobody? Now the FDA didn't notice that this was it? Nobody noticed along the way, before we even got to the problem, that somehow, you know, monopolies, this is how monopolies fuck things up. Lesson 37. I don't know how many lessons we need to realize that monopolies have nothing to do with capitalism. The way in which capitalism works in terms of keeping prices low is competition. When you take the competition out, don't hand me this bullshit because, well, the one company's making it, so it'll be really better. Fuck you. Look at that. Look at what just happened. It's being made, 40% of it's being made in one place, and we were asleep. And then they're screaming over in the Congress. Nobody there noticed, huh? Nobody there from the time it happened didn't go knocking on a door saying, you know, I'm here. I just happened to notice this because I'm part of the government. Fucking assholes pointing fingers. Do the job. Stop pointing fingers at each other and do the fucking job. Okay, we don't have time for your fuck-ups and your screw-ups. Or sitting there watching that madness that goes for the who's going to win? Because if they win, there's primary. And what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. The only thing that means something is to get people who actually want to work together and get shit done. All right? Yeah. Fucking make up shit and call it news. Because it is. It's made up shit. God damn it. Well, what does Herschel Walker mean? He was a great football player. They fucking, how many times you got to repeat it? And that's what we got. I got to see Mom. So that was good. That was an upbeat one. She was doing quite well in the sense of her mood. And she looked good. And we had quite a sweet afternoon together. She's here sometimes, she's there sometimes, but I'm always glad when she's very, very comfortable and seems to be enjoying it there. And I hope that she gets to get out. We got out a bit when I was there to get outside, because it's still tough for them to gather there. My mother, she's freaked out by these idiots who aren't wearing masks, of which they're or some of her fellow, the folks who live there. So it was nice to spend time with her. And I'll be sending out another picture this week on Twitter of that visit. As she continues to defy space and time. And so to wrap it up, let me thank you all again. We're heading into Washington, D.C. this week. That's where you'll be hearing the rants from one of my truly favorite theaters, really, absolutely, the Warner Theater in Washington, and where it's good to be home. It was really nice to be back there, and as it always is, and to enjoy working in that space and to work in front of the folks who truly get the joke because they live in the midst of the shit. They wrote some great rants. I think you'll enjoy them, And once again, thanks for joining me here. We'll be back again next week. And looking forward to seeing all of you. I hope you have a good week. I hope that life is treating you well. And enjoy Memorial Day weekend, okay? Time for some fatty foods. Yum fucking yum. Take care of each other. That's the most important thing. That and, oh man, nothing better than grill. Get that grill out. Enjoy it.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
We're coming to you tonight from Washington, D.C. at the Warner Theater, which is where I did my special Red, White, and Screwed here. And it was, I was born and raised in this area. I started stand-up at a place called the Brickskeller 100 years ago. And then I went and I worked at a place called El Brookman's, which actually four or five of the comics who came out of there, it was in Anacostia. It was an incredible place to work. And then eventually they opened the Improv, and I had a great run there. And it was, And it's, and I've always loved being from this area. I don't know how you live here. Seriously, I knew that I could not be this close to the government or something bad would happen. That I would, they would have to put a muzzle on me and I'd have to be walked 3 or 4 times a day. So let's get on with this. There's been some great stuff written. And this came from Sam Garrett. The pandemic has taken many things, our sense of security, our incomes, our health, indeed our loved ones in many cases. Let us not forget, however, the greatest threat to our way of life that the pandemic has taken, the hallowed snow day. First it came for your job, then for your insurance, then for your casual sex. But soon all these were minor when one realizes that never again, unless you're someone who does actual work, as in labor, will you ever again plausibly be snowed in. Ask your friend Kathleen Madigan about the glory that it was to grow up in St. Louis as I did, bounding out of bed at 5 a.m., waiting patiently for the baritone voiced announcer on KMOX radio to finish reading the Lord's Prayer. Wow. So that hundreds, nay thousands, of Catholic and Lutheran school closings could be read. Patiently, those of us in public schools waited still longer, knowing the risk that our heathen tax dollars brought in the form of buses, paved roads, and shoveled sidewalks, all threatened to snatch the treasured snow day. It was thus even more sacred to be rewarded by hearing one's own school or school district announced as the dark, icy, cold, vanquished, determined administrators. The slight work-life balance that the pandemic forced upon us via minimally available telework now means that only those of us who hibernate in caves with bears can ever truly have snow days. No matter. They can break my spirit. Make me log on and tune in. It'll be a cold day in hell before I give up the snow day in my mind. This is James Holka. My birthday is this weekend, and I came to see your show. Wow. You should have had somebody pay for the ticket. As someone who moved here for one of those super exciting desk jobs for an alphabet agency after my time in the military, I've become rather pissed off at the people who believe that flag waving is patriotism as opposed to what it really is, vapid, jingoistic bullshit. I fare better than most veterans. I'm healthy, active, paid off the student loans from my physics degree, and don't have major things to worry about. But I absolutely despise the assumption that veterans are this monolithic group of flag-waving, chest-pounding conservatives. I do triathlons in my spare time, and they sing the national anthem at the triathlons. 500 people standing around in wetsuits, swim caps, and goggles on a beach, ready to dive into dirty lake water. Why? But there was one sign of hope to let me know that I'm not alone in my thinking. I took a knee and kept stretching. Two others standing nearby did the same thing. One was a black male Army vet, and the other was a female Navy pilot. Veterans today have tangible needs: health care, both physical and mental, jobs, transportation, and shocker, the war's to end. It takes months for me to get an appointment at the VA so I can get fitted for orthotics. It's far worse for hundreds and thousands of other veterans. Maybe it's wishful thinking, but I'd like the country to realize the symbolic acts don't do shit. Especially the 500 or so corporate puppets and frauds up the street who would probably be best suited shoving those American flags up their asses. Wow. Happy birthday.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
TJ Cormier. So I'm an active duty chief in the Navy. Please don't fucking clap. I'm an overglorified nerd. I work on radar and satellite communication systems. And I only mention this to emphasize my appreciation of things like, well, facts, logic, and the fucking scientific method. Now to the point of the rant. I happen to be currently stationed in the Eastern Shore area because due to its remoteness, it's quite optimal for certain testing, best not done near large population areas. But, oh boy, it's everybody's brain just went, what the fuck is that? But this has the unfortunate side effect of me having to live in the middle of fucking nothing, where everyone seems to think a military uniform, for some reason, equals an ally in this person's conservative conspiracy theory or gun rights tirades. We're not trying to take your guns, okay? Just because I'm in the military does not mean I automatically agree with your bullshit. I've lost count of the random people who've walked up to me and tried to start conversations with the opening line of essentially, big guns, cool. And if someone tells you they can't talk about the particulars of the government at the government facility they work at, that's not a fucking invitation to ask the same stupid question worded slightly differently. They can't fucking talk about it. I'm a Jewish Democratic immigrant's daughter. I am not your people. I have meticulously developed my resting bitch face over the years for a reason. Please take note and kindly fuck off. And now your fucking website just tried to autocorrect bitch to butch. It's a fucking word, goddammit. Thomas Page, hope your trip into and around D.C. was not marred by fucking idiots driving a slow-moving circle of trucks around the Beltway. Or on the surface streets. How these fucking morons, who are not from around here, somehow think that fucking everybody's work commute is somehow going to get the support of the people or get the government to listen to them is fucking beyond me. You want my support? Fucking pass out free donuts with Irish coffee outside my office building at 0:30 when I have to be at work. That'll get my support. I'll sign whatever goddamn petition you want. Want my email? I'm sure I can come up with a close enough approximation of my ex's email for you. You want the government to listen to you? Fucking get educated and fucking vote for the person that supports your stance and stay involved in your community. Don't fucking come to my community and make me late for goddamn work. We're going to end with two short ones. I want to thank you all again for coming out. You were just terrific to be with. It's been a pleasure. It really has. And it's really always nice to be back here. I mean that. And for those of you who've never been to the capital of your nation, fucking get off your ass. And I mean it. I mean it. Stop sitting out there going, what's the government doing? Shut the fuck up. Okay? If you've not been there, and you've not been here, I mean, shut the fuck up. Get in your car, however you do it, and get here and see what it is that's disturbing you. And then you can go home and be pissed. But until you come here and don't know what's here, fuck you. I could gone on. I could have gone on forever, but I'm a little tie-tie. No, I'm going to save it for the next special. This is Andy Fallon. Time zones are fucking amazing. It's 4 a.m. in Tokyo and 8 p.m. in London, but it's 1953 in the United States. Yeah, I read these things and I think, God, I wonder what the audio, I'm so glad you really enjoyed that as much as I did. And this is Christina Montoya, plants. Plants are the new pets. Pets are the new children. And children are like what exotic animals were in the 80s. You have to either be crazy or stupid rich to have them. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow night, coming to you from Washington. Send in your rants. We'll be in Greensburg, Pennsylvania on Sunday. Next Sunday, I'll be doing my special in Huntington, Long Island at the Paramount Theater. And once again, thanks a million. Take care of each other.
Thanks to all of you for listening to my rantcast. If you have a rant you want to get off your chest, send it in to me at lewisblack.com/live. You can think of it as therapy, or whatever you want to think of it as. Just let it rip. And I want to thank the true stars of our show, the ranters, and the splendid rants they gave us. Lewis Black's Rantcast was created and hosted by me. Haha, Lewis Black. It is produced by James Salkind. Our theme song by Chris Lane. Executive producer, Ben Brewer. Executive producers, Matt Kleinschmidt and Robert Kelly for the Laugh Button Podcast. And most of all, thank you, all of you who ranted so well on this show.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.